Beloved congregation, last week we heard the wise man Agur tell us about some animals that were little upon the earth. Animals that, remember, were also exceeding wise. And this morning we hear from someone else, from the wisest man, the Lord Jesus himself. He's using an illustration in his teaching from the animal world. Jesus often did that. He used illustrations from the natural world around him. He would point, remember, to the sower sowing his field. He would speak about a shepherd and his sheep, about a vine dresser in his vineyard. He would point at the sky and the sun. He would teach from the natural world. And in this case before us, he's pointing to the birds, specifically mentioned here, the ravens. And he says to us, as well as to his disciples, consider the ravens. It's our theme this morning. Consider the ravens. The word consider here means to observe, to study, to give careful attention and consideration to. Well, when we think about ravens, what can we say about them? I'm sure you've all seen a raven. They're quite large black birds, similar to crows, a bit larger. Ravens are omnivores. They scavenge carcasses, but they also eat nuts and fruits and other plants. But if there's one thing that really stands out about ravens, it's that ravens are extremely intelligent. Perhaps you know this. They're very quick to learn, to adapt. They have the ability to plan ahead. They can even solve problems. For example, I read this week that they've been known to mimic wolf calls, to call in wolves so that wolves would break open a frozen carcass that they couldn't break open. Humans climbing up to raven nests have had rocks tossed and dropped upon them by the ravens to discourage them coming near their nests. In captivity, ravens have learned to mimic human speech even better than parrots. They've been known to play dead beside a carcass to make other ravens sense that the carcass is bad to eat. It's amazing. When we consider things like this, we can truly say, as we just sang, Lord, our Lord, thy glorious name, all thy wondrous works proclaim. God's creation around us is amazingly special. All these creatures have a different, even unique gifts and abilities, and all the natural world is like a symphony, like an orchestra, praising their maker. But when Jesus says to us, consider the ravens, he doesn't point to these facts, as interesting as they are. He says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. He's saying, watch these birds and mark how they survive. Ask yourselves, how do they make it? How do they provide for themselves? They live day to day. They eat hand to mouth, so to speak. But as you watch them, and as you watch them, learn an important lesson. Our material provisions will be supplied by God. God feedeth them. Consider the ravens, who show us that our material needs, our material provisions, will be supplied by God. We want to consider this morning three thoughts. First, ignoring the ravens. What happens when you don't consider them? Second, learning from the ravens. What happens when you do consider them? And third, going beyond the ravens. Why does Jesus call us to leave the necessities of life in God's hand in order that we could be called to a higher activity, going beyond the ravens? And we'll touch on that in our third point. First, then, ignoring the ravens. Congregation, when we read a text like this, we might be tempted to ask, is this really relevant today for us? We live in a country, in a time, where food is so abundant. You can go down to Superstore and there's lots of food. So much food that we don't really have to worry about it. And if you want to talk about drinking water, we have 0.5% of the world's population in Canada, but we have 20% of the world's fresh water. So we can ask, does this text apply to us? Yes, it does. First, because we may not take all that we've been given for granted. Our food is not a given. We're used to what we have, but things can change. We hear a lot of talk about supply chain challenges these days, and every day our food is a gift. And even though it's easy to go pick up more food, it is to be traced to the hand of God. But there's another reason why this is not irrelevant, even in our decadent time. And to see that, we need to go back to the very beginning of this particular section, verse 22. How does Jesus begin his address here to his disciples? He says, therefore. And whenever you have a therefore, you need to ask the question, wherefore? What is Jesus referring to? Well, he's referring to the parable of the rich fool. What was this rich fool's problem? Well, his problem was that he didn't consider the ravens. He ignored them. The ravens, who have no barns. But he thought, I need bigger barns. The rich fool was depending only on himself and on his own resources. He was only focused on having it made in this world. He completely forgot about God. He wasn't rich toward God. He didn't trust in God. God didn't factor in into his plans. He was only thinking about his bodily earthly needs, laying up treasures for the body, for the here, and for the now. He had a big retirement package. And with that, he thought, I've got it made. I'm all set. I don't have a worry in the world. I am so clever. You see the connection to verse 29? Jesus says, and seek ye not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful, that is, anxious mind, that applies when you are poor and have nothing, but that also applies when you are rich and have much. The temptation for the one is to be anxious about and failing to trust God for your basic daily needs. The temptation for the other is to be anxious about and failing to trust God for your basic daily needs. It's a different kind of anxiety, but the net effect is the same. There's no trust in God. There's no dependence on God. And the parallel passage in Matthew 6 skips the parable goes before here, but there is a connection. The connection with this parable back to Matthew 6 is in Matthew 6, verse 24. There Jesus says, no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And this man in this parable, who was ignoring the ravens, was all in with mammon. And Jesus says, consider the ravens. Don't be focused on and consumed by all being all set for this life. Live in simple dependence on God day by day. And when you think about it that way, this command is stunningly relevant to us. Do you ever wonder what our Lord might have said about the whole concept of a retirement nest egg? I'm not saying we don't have to prepare for the future. The Bible elsewhere commends those who make preparation for the future. That's not the point. The point is, when that retirement nest egg becomes the goal, the focus, the obsession, You need to go out for a day and consider the ravens. Observe them. And let them humble you. Because when you cast your anchor on earthly possessions, on a retirement nest egg, you've got it all backwards. You're in the wrong place. Psalm 100. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That's it. That's where considering the ravens brings you. That's where we go secondly, learning from the ravens. What happens when you do consider the ravens? Well, as we said earlier, they teach us that God will supply our daily needs and that we're not to be anxious about those needs. God will supply. And therefore, the first thing we learn as we consider the ravens is a truth about God, about who God is. God is a God whose hand is at work in creation. He's present. He's active. He's involved in our day-to-day lives. We don't see him. We don't hear him audibly, but the evidence is all around. God is engaged with this world. That shouldn't be lost on us in this context. The Lord is invested in his creation. He's interested. That's the great motivator, isn't it, for depending on him. It's not that we serve a God who's completely unreliable, who's unpredictable, who's capricious, who'll change his mind tomorrow and maybe again flip back the next day after that. We don't have a God who may go weeks or months without showing an ounce of interest or care for his creation. Not at all. Every day, all day long, the Lord is invested in his creation. He's at work. What an encouragement. What reason that already is to trust in him, because you know he's right there, interested, ready to help those who depend on him. The ravens trust God implicitly to do just this. Do you trust God implicitly to care for all your needs? Takes us to the next thought, the thought that we should be encouraged to trust God not only for food, but for all your needs, for everything. Just as in the Lord's Prayer, the Lord teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. He means thereby all the things that you have need of every day. To live in daily dependence on him for everything. The passage here addresses the question of your lifespan, verses 25 and 26. In which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? Now, the word stature is there, and you think of height, and who can add this much, you know, a foot and a half to your height by taking thought? But the Greek word there can also mean lifespan. Okay, can you add this much to your lifespan by taking thought? Everything. You can't worry or anxious your way into a longer life. You don't have to worry about those things. Leave them with God. Verses 27, 28, clothing is mentioned. He talks about the lilies. The necessities of life, shelter, work, peace, safety, protection. We're taught by the ravens to depend on God for all these things, congregation. Now, that doesn't mean that we should therefore be careless or fail to plan. But it does mean that the outcome, the results, should all be laid in God's hands. Our prayer must be with Psalm 90, establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. God gives the increase. God provides for all our needs. This is what Paul reminds the Philippians of too in chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need. All your need. Supplied by God, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus. And Paul there adds a wonderful truth to all of this. The truth that it all comes to you through the conduit of his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's through Christ and for his sake that you receive and that God will provide. For his sake, he gives. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, all things are yours through Christ, whether life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. It's for Jesus' sake that he will give all the things we have need of. In a little bit of time spent observing and considering the ravens is time well spent when we forget these things. I point you right back to this truth. One man put it this way, it's called the common raven because it is common. It's found in so many different places. All across the northern hemisphere, not like some birds which are very localized and hard to find. Not the raven, they're all over. Showing that depending on God causes you to flourish and prosper and be blessed. This lesson is found everywhere. But there's more here. There's encouragement. As you consider the ravens and God's care for them, Jesus says you should be encouraged by this. How much more are you better than the fowls? He's saying if your heavenly Father is taking care of the ravens, what about you? You're much better than ravens. And Jesus here gives us a lesson in anthropology, the study of man, at least a part of the study of man. What is man? What was man in the original creation? Was he some sub-creature, not important? No, he was the king of creation. Jesus here touches on what Psalm 8 teaches us. We sang that together. The psalm that says that the Lord has crowned man with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, man's feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea. The animals weren't created in the image of God, but man was. No animal was put over all of creation, but man was. The Lord says, therefore, ye are better. The word means to be more valuable than, to be worth more than, to be superior to be excellent in comparison to. It's so foolish when people say that we are just animals. We're not. You're created in God's image. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. So based on this truth, Jesus reasons from the lesser to the greater. If God feeds the ravens, don't you think he'll feed you who are superior to ravens? Now this truth is an amazing thought when you consider that man, the man Jesus is speaking of, is fallen man. Man has sinned, and sin has caused great separation between God and man. And yet the Lord sees man as the crown of his creation, and not only better, but it says much better than the fowls. This is true of all people generally. Think of the Pharisees. Remember that time, boys and girls, when Jesus was speaking with the Pharisees because he was healing a man on the Sabbath and they would have none of it? Jesus accused them. And he said, you hypocrites, you'll pull your sheep out of a pit on Sunday or on the Sabbath. How much then is a man better than a sheep, he says. You see, the high view again, the Lord Jesus has of man, even after the fall, in distinction to the animals. Well, how much more is this true then among those among men who are also God's people? He's speaking here to his disciples, after all. They are those who have been appointed a kingdom. He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom," verse 32. These are the objects of his saving love. And even though you continue to sin, child of God, what a privilege, what an amazing thing that the Lord says, how much better you are than the fowls. Humbling. Because if you had to make an assessment, you're not better. Those birds don't sin. You do. Those birds sing the praise of their Maker. You don't always do that. But by reasoning from the lesser to the greater, the Lord encourages you not to be anxious about your needs, but to depend on God. Again, verse 29, "Seek ye not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful or anxious mind." And then, since he knows our inclination to be so doubtful and to be so anxious, to worry about this and to fret about that and to lay awake about another thing, he nudges you and me with a motivation. A motivation not to be like the heathen. Verse 30, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after." What's he saying? He's saying it dishonors God to act as if he doesn't exist and you're on your own. Be motivated to put your trust in God. Don't be like those who live without God and without hope in the world. Don't dishonor him who delights to supply all who depend on him. It's a motivation. Well, beloved, do you consider the ravens? Can you sing with that song, "All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Are you learning to depend on the Lord in your life, in all things, in pain and suffering, in sickness, in your relationships? Maybe you are struggling in a relationship. Maybe there's difficulties and hardships between you and someone else. You depend on God. It's a need you have. Maybe you desire to be married. You look to the Lord to guide you and to provide. Maybe you desire children or another child. Are you depending on God? Maybe you're looking for a job or a different job. Ask him to provide. Maybe the books aren't looking so good for the business or personally. Are you depending on God? Maybe you're looking for another home in this crazy market and there's just nothing on the market. You're looking to God. Continue to look to God. Maybe as a parent, you've got deep needs for one or more of your children. You're burdened. It's a need. "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Maybe you're caring for aging parents or a disabled loved one. Maybe you wonder what will happen to Canada, what kind of world your grandchildren will have to live in. Beloved, consider the ravens. Don't lean on your own resources, which are so weak and feeble. But lean on God, who has everlasting resources at his disposal. Jesus draws our attention to something powerful in the last part of verse 30. He says, "Your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." There's something beautiful about that. You know what our problem so often is that we forget this. We forget that as Jesus says, the Lord God, your Father, knows all your needs, all your wants, all your cares and troubles. He knows. My shepherd is the Lord who knows my needs. I shall not want, we'll sing after. There's something beautiful about being able to rest in the knowledge of God the Father. He knows. It's because he knows that he can also supply. He's not guessing. He's not ignorant of our needs or out of touch with us. He knows the raven's needs. Psalm 147 says that he gives to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry, because he knows. And he knows your needs. He'll provide you all that you need. You continue to lean on and look to him. And then, when you realize that, it frees you up for greater, nobler work to go beyond the ravens. It's our third thought, briefly. Jesus moves from the idea of worrying about and focusing on and thinking about material needs to something much more worthwhile. In verse 31, he says, but rather than seeking after all these things which your heavenly Father will take care of for you, rather seek ye the kingdom of God. And in saying this, Jesus points directly at your soul. Verse 23, the life is more than meat. Life is about more than our earthly cares. Life is wrapped up with spiritual, eternal needs. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And so don't be so downward focused and seek after the things that the nations of the world seek after. Seek ye the kingdom of God. In Matthew's gospel, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's a priority that it's to be given to this. Make it your chief aim. Make it the most important thing in your life. Because it is. Jesus bounces our thinking up. He redirects our thinking to focus on lasting things, spiritual things. And this isn't a suggestion here, but rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. It's an imperative. It's a command. Paul says to the Athenians, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. This is the will of God for you, that you seek the things which are above, that you not neglect your soul, not neglect so great salvation. And that's something the ravens know nothing about. That's why this is to go beyond the ravens. To seek the life that is in Christ above so that you may live up to that high place that God has put you in his creation, so that you may one day enter the new heaven and the new earth. If you're unsaved this morning, ask the Lord to save you and to set your thoughts on these things. Ask him to forgive all your sins. The cross and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ are your guarantee that if you seek those things, you'll find them. Take this promise from the Old Testament, Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And if you are saved and you love the Lord, then the Lord Jesus also calls you to this. Paul says to the Colossians, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Why does he say that? Because we're so prone to do that. We're always looking down. He says, look up. Obey the gospel. Spend time in the word and in prayer. Use the means of grace. Love the brethren. Do good to all men. And especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Forgive one another. In meekness, preferring one another, humble yourselves before the Lord. Seek his spirit and his blessing. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. And the result will be that all these things shall be added unto you. It's just a little appendix that he adds, just to seal it all off. Because we started with all these things we worried about. And he says, go beyond that. Seek the Lord, and it'll wrap around, and the Lord will give you and continue to give you all that you need. Consider the ravens, but go beyond them. Amen. Let us pray. Glorious, good-doing, and gracious God, Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. A word that guides us and is a help to us. We ask, Lord, that as we've heard this word this morning, that it would land on every heart, that it would be settled upon our minds. Lord, in the midst of the things of this life in which we can grow so focused on worrying about and being anxious for things from A to Z, help us, we pray, to call to mind these words and to put our trust in Thee. We thank Thee for this encouragement, Lord. We thank Thee for Thy promises and for Thy great goodness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Lord, we do also pray yet for our sister Jackie Stan, as she hopes to celebrate her birthday in this week. Be with her, Lord. Be about her. Encourage her. And strengthen her physically also as she struggles with mobility. And provide for her, we pray, for body and soul. Dismiss us now with Thy blessing. And pardon every sin for Jesus.